morning was not have you encouraged. I don't know what to say to you. Those songs this morning were well selected. They go along with the lesson this morning. If you want to, go ahead and open your books to Job chapter 1. The book of Job is a very detailed book about God. It is a book that you can find the nature of God. You can see how God created things, what he says about himself. But if you begin in Job 1, you see a man who's suffering. You see a man who is allowed to suffer. And that's the question that we deal with throughout the scripture. What happens when a faithful man suffers and God doesn't explain himself? Remember, Job's suffering is heaven permitted. You look at Job 1, 14 through 7, his children are killed. They are taken away from him. Look at this. You see that he's lost his livelihood. I have it backwards. His children's 18, 19. His livelihood is in 14, 17. Forgive me. You see his own body decay. If you flip over to chapter 2 and verse 7, his own body is starting to decay. And then you look at verse 9 of chapter 2. His wife tells him, just curse God and die. You've suffered enough. Put an end to this. Put an end to it. You are suffering beyond measure. Well, what's Job's attitude? Job doesn't deny God's sovereignty, does he? He confesses it. He says in verse 21 of chapter 1, the Lord gave me, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Does that sound like somebody who's going to curse God and die? Does it? Now you're thinking, well, we're going to jump off from there. No, we're going to go deeper. Think about Genesis 18:25. At the end of that verse, it says, shall not the judge of the earth do right? We know that God's judgment is right. God's judgment is pure. God is not wrestling with, Job is not wrestling with God. He's wrestling with the distance from himself to God. There's a great distance between Job and God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a great distance between us and God. There's a great distance. Look in Job 9. Turn over there. Look what Job says about God, beginning in verse 5. Does this sound like someone who doesn't know who God is or what God is? The hungry... Nine verse 5. It says, he removes mountains, and they do not know it. When he overturns them in his anger, who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble, who commands the sun and it does not rise, who seals up the stars, who alone stretches out the heavens and trample the waves of the sea. That sounds like somebody who knows God and who God is pretty well, doesn't it? God is not absent, is what Job is saying. God is overwhelming. God is overwhelming to him. I want that to wrestle in your mind for a minute, that God is overwhelming compared to us. And Job's problem is not unbelief, ladies and gentlemen. It's disproportion. That's the problem. God is infinite, and he is dust. How can dust compare to infinity? It can't. There's no comparison. Mind you, ladies and gentlemen, we are all dust. We are all dust. How can suffering humanity speak to transcendent holiness? How can we bridge that gap? Job voices this crisis plainly in 32 of that same chapter 9. It says, for he is not a man as I am, that I might answer him, and that we should go to court together. I can't summon God to court. I can't bring him to me. Who am I to do that? That's reverence, ladies and gentlemen. He is absolutely acknowledging God, who he is, and he's also acknowledging who he is. He has it on their correct path. And it's just nice. That's courtroom language. There's going to be a trial. And right now, Job sees it as God is both the judge and the jury. There is no someone to come help. There's no defendant. There's no defendant attorney. There's no one to stand on Job's behalf. There's no one to stand between. So look at verse 33. Job gives a very, very honest cry. Nor is there a mediator between us who may lay his hand on both. There's no one who can bring us together. There's no one who can gap this distance between dust and infinity. I need someone who can help us both come together. That sounds a lot like Jesus saying, blessed are the peacemakers, doesn't it? He's not asking for God to be less holy here. He's not asking for that. He's asking for someone to bring holiness and humanity together. Can we be brought together? Can we be together? Job doesn't know the name of that mediator yet. He doesn't get to learn the name of that mediator. But heaven knows it. Heaven already has a mediator planned. The core problem, ladies and gentlemen, our first point is the difference between man and God. That's the core problem. God is not a man that he should be summoned. We've already talked about that. That's not irreverence. That's realism. Who are we to summon our God before us and make him answer for things that he's done? That's a problem with the world today. They want to make God answer for his things that he's decided to do. Think about Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. God is above all of that. God is truth. God is righteousness. God is holy. And then look at, man cannot justify himself before God. Look what Job says about that. Job 9, verse 20. If I justify myself, my own mouth would condemn me. My own mouth would say that I'm wrong. My own mouth, if I try to justify myself before God, would speak out and say, no, 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 you're wrong. That's powerful there, isn't it? That's a powerful statement from Job. Think about the way Paul wrote it in Romans 3. There is none righteous, no, not one. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that your own mouth would speak out if you try to justify yourself against God. Your own mouth would stop and say, no, 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 no. They're wrong. You're right. I'm sorry. Think about that. But without a mediator, fear dominates. Job says, let him take his rod away from me, and do not let the dread of him terrify me. That's Job 9, 34. Job is saying, God is so holy and so powerful and so awesome, there's nothing I can do against him. Whatever he decides to do will be done. He's acknowledging that. But without somebody to bring us together, that becomes terror. Without that mediator, that becomes terror. Because we cannot stand before a holy God. Notice that Job's cry for mediator is prophetic. As we already said, there's no mediator between us. Job is crying. There's no one to stand between us. Job defines mediation before Scripture does. Think about it. The mediator must stand between, touch both, and represent both. He has to do all those things. We talked about it earlier. That anticipates blessed are the peacemakers. Who's the ultimate peacemaker? Spoiler alert, Jesus Christ. He makes peace between God and man. No old covenant figure fully completes that. Let's think about Moses. Moses, Exodus 3:6 says Moses feared God. He was faithful. Absolutely. Hebrews 10, as we read earlier in class, in the Hebrews class, priests offered repeated sacrifices. Then you think about the prophets. They spoke for God, from God, but not as God. There's a vast difference there. Job longs what heaven has already planned. Revelations 13 and verse 8 says, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Job's cry is answered outside of time, but revered in time. There's a plan. God has a plan for that mediator that Job is longing for here. And obviously, it's Christ. He's named so. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Christ is our mediator between us and God. He's the one who brings us together. That verse answers Job 9:33 directly. Job, you want a mediator? Here it is. You feel like you are arguing against God with no one to represent you. You're trying to stand before God with no one there in the court. God, I've lived a righteous life. I've done everything that you've asked me to do. And there's no one there to present your case, is there? Christ Jesus is there to present your case. He's there to make those arguments for you. And here's the thing. He shares God's nature. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus later says in that same book in John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Well, okay, he's got God's nature. But he has to have both. Or he shares man's nature. Same chapter, John 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Why? Because he came to this earth. He lived with us. He suffered. He died. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our temptations because he experienced them. He has both God and man's nature. He can put his hand on both. Because he fully belongs to both. Well, Trey, what does the mediation happen? How does this happen? At the cross. At the cross is when this mediation happens. Isaiah 53:5-6. He was wounded for our transgressions. And at the end of it says, and the Lord has laid him the iniquity of us all. On him our sins were put on. He was beaten for our transgressions. And notice that the wrath is absorbed, not dismissed. Romans 3:25, for whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. Christ had to sacrifice his life for us so we can have a mediator to fulfill God's wrath against sin. And now with that happening, we now have access. We have access to God directly through Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:19, have a boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. What Job could not approach, we are not invited to. We're welcomed. We're welcomed. Come to. Job couldn't imagine or fathom the things that we have access to. He's longing for it. And I think sometimes we take it for granted. We look at our mediator and we take him for granted. But it's the greatest gift that God has ever given any of us. And most importantly, that mediation continues today. Every hour of every day of your life, God, Jesus, has been mediating for you since you've become a Christian. He's been guiding you toward God. Look at Hebrews 7:25. He ever lives to make intercession for them. He ever lives to make intercessions. Is that not an encouraging verse? That he wants to make intercessions for you, that he loves you so much that he's continually doing so. How much more encouragement do you need? Look at 1 John 2, verse 1. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If you fall short, which you will, you have someone who can argue your case for you. You have someone who can advocate for you. Why? Because he's been there. He's been tempted. He's been tried. He knows what it's like to be a human being. We talked about in Hebrews class a couple of weeks back, or maybe a few weeks back now, that part of his suffering was living on earth with us, having to deal with us every day. Because we suffer, because we live with each other, right? He knows our sufferings. Even the most intimate ones that we think we hide from him, he knows them. And Christ remains the bridge. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We've said this over and over again lately. There is nothing else to hope in. There is nothing else to give your trust to. There is no other mediator. If you don't have Christ, you don't have nothing. Amen? We should be basing our life around that. That our mediator stands before God for us continually. The good book says so. In conclusion, Job cried, there is no mediator. The Gospels declare there is one. What Job saw as absence, we now proclaim as fulfillment. It's done. Christ has come to this earth. He suffered, bled, and died for us. The hand that Job longed for was pierced for us. And the mediator still stands between heaven and earth, between justice and mercy, between God and man. There's nothing more important for you to hear this day than to know that Christ Jesus came to this earth, suffered, bled, and died for you. Because God loves you so much that he sent him here to do that. No matter what someone tells you, someone can give you the winning lottery ticket for $1 billion in the next hour. It is still not as important as hearing Christ Jesus died for you. If you're here today and you're not a Christian yet, you lack that mediator. You lack someone who will continually make intercessions for you. Because our holy God is awesome and terrifying. And you won't be able to stand before him without Christ. If you're in this pew and you need to make some changes in your life because you're far away from that mediator, no better time than now. Don't delay. You're not promised the next 5 minutes. Make it a priority. If you have any of these needs, we ask you to come and stand and sing the songs from the selected.